It's Monday, January 25th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the Tech Podcast Network. Yes, everyone, live here in Jacksonville, Florida. Yes, I'm away from Honolulu. Got one more show left in Florida. Got a great one for you tonight. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Jacksonville, Florida via my portable podcasting studio. Hey everyone, again, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. You can subscribe to the show as well by basically following that subscription buttons in the second column of the website, either through Zune Marketplace, through iTunes, through your favorite RSS reader, however you're getting your new media downloaded automatically to your, you know, to your mobile media device. You can subscribe that way as well. We give you plenty of opportunity to subscribe. Of course, if you want to just listen to the content on the website, you can always do that by coming over to the website and can checking out the latest shows. You want to get signed up for our newsletter as well. The newsletter contains all the content that I'm going to talk about tonight, including all the links to all the different articles will be emailed to you directly after the show via our newsletter. A few of you have mentioned that you've been having some problems getting the newsletter, and I feel bad about that. I don't really, you know, basically what I use is a Google Groups mailing list, and if you are subscribed, you're subscribed, and you can, you know, basically go over to Google Groups and check your subscription, make sure you're not, it's not failing to send your email or you're not on a digest mode. But it's really easy to groups.google.com is where you go over and take a look at the at your subscription. And, of course, just log in with the new username that you signed up for the mailing list account. And I apologize if some of you are not getting it. It's really beyond my control. I think at times email systems flag the email that I send out as spam. And if you don't get it again, significant, you know, apologies on my end here, but really it's beyond my control, and I do try to make sure that everyone gets the newsletter. Now, the last couple of newsletters, and thanks to Bree for smacking me in the head a couple of times, I have accidentally provided the wrong link to the media, actually in the email. I forgot to update the hyperlink to it, and so I was able to fix last week's newsletter by uploading to an alternate upload site where it was linking to, and got that fixed for you. So anyway, that's basically what's going on in the newsletter. You can sign up, and hopefully your email carrier will not block it, and you'll be able to get all the contents of the show. Of course, I want to welcome new listeners to the show, and if this is your first time checking us out, hey, thanks for hanging out. Again, I'm on the road right now. I'm recording via my portable studio here in a hotel room that has terrible bandwidth in Jacksonville, Florida. Tonight, we're pushing the Ustream stream up via Verizon EVDO. Last show, it lasted about 55 minutes before the connection disconnected, so we're going to knock on wood tonight that it doesn't drop out. I will re-simulcast the show immediately following it. Tonight, we are recording it separately, so I'll have it available to go up on YouTube as well. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all the longtime listeners of the show. Hey, thanks for staying subscribed, being part of the family, and the support here you give to me here at Geek News Central. We've got listeners that are subscribed to the show from 161 countries worldwide now. So we want to thank those of you that have stayed subscribed via the 160 different countries that are getting the show twice weekly. Okay, just to give you guys a couple of updates here. It's going to be a busy, busy week here. I'm going to finish up my meetings on Thursday, actually consulting that I'm doing here on Thursday, fly back to Honolulu on Friday, and then Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be doing our first Tech Podcast Roundtable following the Consumer Electronics Show. It's not going to be CES wrap-up show. It's basically going to be we're going to have some vendors in, And we're pretty excited about the lineup so far, so we encourage you to come and hang out with us Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern over at techpodcast.com for our monthly roundtable. Anna McCaskey is going to be joining me from sdrnews.com, Jeffrey Powers from geekazine.com as well, and we'll have some cool guests. I think we're going to have someone on from Nuance, from Dragon Naturally Speaking. We've got a file sharing, or actually a file storage service, I believe, that's going to be on talking with us as well. And I think one other potential guest, but we'll have some great content for you regardless. So if you missed the live event, don't worry. We'll have that recorded for you, and that'll be available for download. Over 65,000 people are now subscribed to our Tech Podcast Roundtable, and they get that downloaded every month or come over and view it. So while the audience numbers generally run anyway from 20 to 50 during the live event, we have a huge number of people are subscribed to get it via podcast download. Hey, one thing that I have to share with you guys, being here in Florida, they have something in Florida that we don't in Honolulu. It's Lotto. So I spent my $5 and bought five lottery tickets for the drawing on Wednesday, January 27th. If I win, there probably won't be a show on Friday. But you know the chances of that, right? About one in 5 million or something like that. So, or maybe even worse odds. But if nothing else, I have contributed to the education of children here in Florida while I've been here by buying a $5 lottery ticket. I did spend some time this weekend, went down to Cape Canaveral and toured that facility. Haven't been down there in a long time. Pretty amazing what they have added to the tour there. $40 for the tour. Those of you that haven't been to the Cape recently, I was a little bit surprised at the price, but being pretty much a space nut, I wanted to go see the site as an adult, and it was a lot of fun. It really was. Along with that, I went and saw Avatar this weekend in 2D, not 3D. And, you know, just call me a knucklehead. I just assumed all the movie theaters were going to be 3D. I walk in, and I sit down, and I'm kind of trying to figure out, where's the glasses? Are they going to hand them out, or what's going on? And long story short, no one shows up, and the movie starts. And I was like, I thought this was a 3D movie. And I think I knew in the back of my mind that they had off. There was a 2D playing as well. So anyway, I saw Avatar in 2D and found out that there's one movie theater here that's an IMAX theater in Jacksonville that had it in 3D. So what I'll probably do is go back to Honolulu, go re-see it again in 3D. But wow, what an amazing movie. It's no wonder it has done as well as it has done. The amount of money that it has made, it is, holy smokes. I'm going to tell you, it was a great movie. It really was. And for you, those of you that are sci-fi buffs, man, it just fits into what, I'm not going to ruin it for any of you that haven't seen it already. You just got to go check it out. It was absolutely excellent movie. Another thing I did over the weekend that I have not done, had promised to do, but I had not got up and running, was I actually got the localfoodreview.com website up online. I got it skinned with a skin I basically found on WordPress templates. I got that applied, and actually I wrote my first four food reviews, three of them here from Jacksonville, one from a dinner we had in Vegas, and my wife and I will be doing some video casts, some podcasts, some stuff with localfoodreview.com over the coming months. It'll be something that we'll post to haphazardly, but I want to make you guys aware of it as a new stable product for me, or new website. And again, it's just going to be kind of our experiences. Now, maybe over time we'll add some more folks to do reviews, but again, it's just something fun for her and I to do, and more than likely it's just me to get her involved a little bit more in the online space and share her ideas and thoughts. Now, obviously, these first four were on me from experiences I had at local eateries here in Jacksonville and one in Vegas. So anyway, hopefully what I'll do is I'll add to the mix here when I'm traveling to these different areas. Those of you that are part of the Ohana, and you know I'm going to, let's say, Atlanta, or you know I'm going to Chicago, maybe you guys can recommend a place for me to go. I'll go eat there. Then I'll do a review on it, and that'll be a way for you guys to get a place that you like to go to, a local kind place, not a fancy place, but a local kind place, and get it reviewed and up on the website. Okay, what else is going on here? Hey, we're running on VidBlaster tonight, obviously, again. And tonight I figured that I remembered to make sure to enable the audio so that the recording is going, running on one camera, unlike I normally do with VidBlaster running on two. And just working with that software a little bit to make sure that it's doing what I want it to do. Did some editing on the template with so that you guys can see the overlay, those of you that are on Ustream today, a little better, so it wasn't so gaudy, so I have that up and around. Hey, one thing I noticed here in Jacksonville, you know, it's a big city. It's huge. I mean, I drove around the city, a variety of different places, downtown, on the outskirts and so forth, and this place is huge. It's a big town spread out. And I noticed one thing, lots of bars that were cigar bars. You don't find those in Hawaii at all anymore. But I don't know if that's just a trend down here in the South or not, but that's something I noticed. It seems like around every block there was another cigar bar, and I thought that, you know, I like a good cigar now and then. It did not sample any of the local cigars or not at all, but just didn't have time. He did get a lot of response on the copy editor for GNC, overwhelming response. I think I've had about 15 email replies. A lot of you are very, really want to work with me to be a copy editor over at Geek News Central. So I got to go through those and figure out who I want to bring on board. It is kind of, you know, it's a part-time job that'll basically be coming in behind and cleaning up my masterful writing skills. So we'll be doing, I'll be picking someone here and presenting an offer to someone to help me out with copy editing on a per blog basis here in the next few days. I have not gotten any replies on people that are interested in being bloggers, but I am looking to add bloggers to Geek News Central. So if you think you want to contribute to the website and add your writing skills to the content over there, definitely send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Again, if you have any comments on tonight's show, it's geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. My daughter's driving up from Tampa on Wednesday. We're going to hang out. I think she's going to stay overnight, then drive back on Thursday, so I'm looking forward to hanging out with her. So lots of cool stuff going on here for me in the Florida area. Now let me look through my little list here and make sure I've covered all the stuff that I wanted to cover. I think I did. And one thing I want to do as well is, of course, take care of a little business here. You guys know that it takes a lot to keep the lights on and keep me on the road and doing what I do. And GoDaddy.com is one of the sponsors of the show. Your support by buying products and services over at GoDaddy really helped me out. So make sure you spread the word to friends, neighbors, family members, people that you know. They're looking for a domain name. Dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account. You consider GoDaddy.com as your service provider. And the best thing about it is they've got great deals over there and a full breadth of products and services for you to choose from. When you get to the checkout counter, the best thing is you can save some money and help me as well. You can use the promo code TODD, that's Todd, will save you 10% on non-domain domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on one-year shared hosting accounts. ComSale will save you, will actually get you .coms at $7.49. GoDaddy has been a longtime sponsor here now 5 years. We want to thank them as a longtime sponsor and hope that you continue to support them. And spread my codes around. Tell people about the codes. That's where it's all at. The codes, 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 codes. Again, thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Really, GoToMeeting, it's the best in class. You know, if you aren't using a web conferencing tool or the service you use is currently clunky, and matter of fact, I attended a webinar this morning, that was not on GoToMeeting. Every webinar that I have attended in the last year with someone not using GoToMeeting, the experience has been horrible. Just like the last time, the person putting on the webinar took about 15 minutes just to figure out how to get things going. And then when they did, it just wasn't a good experience. And GoToMeeting just works. So if you aren't using web conference tool or the service you use is clunky, use my first choice, and that's GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is the easiest to use. Turn a call into an instant online meeting in just one click. It's affordable. As many meetings as you want for just $49 a month, and this is a great value for small businesses or individuals that are having a lot of online meetings. It's highly secure. It's substantially reduced meeting-related expenses. It'll help you reduce overhead related to meeting materials. And with voice IP included, you can call in via the phone or your computer. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial. Thanks for GoToMeeting for, again, being a longtime sponsor here. We appreciate you guys trying GoToMeeting, and we'll be doing some promotionals here soon. And so I want you guys to get out there and give it a try and, you know, be emailing me your experiences of on using the application and how you've used it, what you like, what you don't like. Don't forget, if you're a Mac user, it'll work as well on a Mac. Okay, let me go ahead here and get into the regular content. I do want to welcome those of you on Ustream. Welcome to the show tonight. And, of course, what I like to say is my primary audience, where 99.99999% of you tune in or subscribe. Hey, thanks for being part of the Ohana. Again, thanks for being part of the family and tuning into the show. All right, I parsed the online websites today. And let's make sure that I just didn't screw something up. No, everything's running good. And I have Google Chrome loaded. Matter of fact, we'll be talking about Google Chrome here a little later in the show as there is a new update available. But big news today, of course, is Apple has posted their quarter one profits of $3.38 billion. Quarter one, we're not done with quarter one. This has to be, it turned into quarter one financials, must be for quarter four. $3.38 billion Q1 profit. iPhone sales double. I guess, okay, they're on a October, November, December, so Q1. Okay, there we go. So iPhone sales have doubled. Mac sales are up 33%, but iPods are down 8%. Even with that, $3.38 billion in profit. They had a pretty good conference call. The folks over at Engadget covered it in detail. It went on for a little over an hour. And I have the basically the notes from the conference call from the for the stockholders in the will be in the show notes tonight. It'll be linked to it, and you can check it out. But congratulations to Apple on a $3.38 billion Q1. Talking about iPhone and iPhone accessories, Belkin has finally released TuneCast. And TuneCast is pretty quickly because you can use TuneCast to quickly find the best FM station with the help of your iPhone GPS system. And basically what it does is, have any of you used any of those little FM transmitters that Belkin has? Have you ever had trouble finding a frequency that was open? Well, what Belkin TuneCast does is it tells you, based upon your location, what frequency, what's the best FM frequency to use with your Belkin transmitter. So this is pretty cool. And it ties into the GPS. It's with an iPhone app right on the iPhone. And again, it scans for the clearest frequency and the best audio quality at the push of a button. And you can, you know, it's for many of you that have cars that don't have a direct aux in jack, which many vehicles don't. This is a great way for you to be able to listen to your iPod on the go or iPhone on the go. And the best thing is you can listen to me on the go as well. So definitely consider picking up one of these items so that you're always able to consume content no matter where you're at. Hey, one thing I was pretty impressed today. I found a new application that I had not had any information on before. Have you guys heard of DoubleTwist? This is the iTunes alternative that allows you to manage media for hundreds of devices. Yeah, you heard me correctly. It's the iTunes alternative. So you can use this application. It kind of looks a little bit like iTunes, but it's not. But you can sync media and music to the Android, the Palm Pre, BlackBerry. Tomorrow, the company will be announcing this 4G partnership with T-Mobile, which is now promoting it as a supported way to sync media to its line of Android phones. And as part of the deal, T-Mobile will begin displaying DoubleTwist banners in their retail stores and on T-Mobile.com. And perhaps most importantly, DoubleTwist will come pre-installed on some Android devices, including the new Fender/Eric Clapton MyTouch 3G handset. So DoubleTwist is pretty cool. Now, I actually sent an email off to the folks at DoubleTwist saying, hey, you got all this cool stuff here you're doing with this, but one thing you're missing is a podcast directory. So we'll see if they get back with me. We'd love to partner up with them and make it so that you can easily get your podcast loaded to your media devices with this application from DoubleTwist. And if you send an email to DoubleTwist, say, hey, we know a great company called Raw Voice that has a number of podcasting communities, says Blueberry, Tech Podcast, Travelcast Network, the Medicast Network. Why don't you partner up with those guys and get some, you know, largely maintained directories for podcast on DoubleTwist. So love to hear you guys' feedback on this. I was playing with it for a little bit today. Pretty cool, and I am sure that the folks at Apple are not super happy, but you can sync almost anything that you have to your devices with this application. And finally, someone's come out with something like this, and I think it's applaudable. All right, big news, of course, is going to happen on Wednesday, and I'm going to tell you, whether we like it or not, the Apple tablet is about to make its appearance on the scene. Hearing rumors that it's going to be priced well below $1,000, so what does that mean? Well below, that doesn't mean above $500, but below $1,000, and everything I'm reading points to this to being a pretty remarkable device. I'm hearing that it's going to tie into the App Store. So all the apps that you are currently using on your iPhone or your iPod, you probably will now be able to access with this new tablet. Lots of discussions with the publisher houses, newspapers. I think this is going to be an interesting launch. But the folks over at Flurry, and that's at, I guess, I don't know too much about Flurry, but they are looking, they've been looking at traffic on websites that they track, and they say that they're seeing as many as 50 devices being used, coming out of Cupertino, using the, you know, what they think is the Apple tablet. And sites that they've been going to and things it's been used on are games, entertainment, news and books, lifestyle, utilities, music, photography, travel, finance, social networking, weather, and other applications. That's what they're seeing, that the tested application by category. So this is interesting. It really, really is. We'll see what happens here, and we'll have a little bit more news on this later in the show. Now, over on Tom, actually on HotHardware.com, for those of you who have TomToms, did you know that TomToms are collecting a certain amount of information when you're driving? And here's the thing that I find kind of interesting. TomTom is saying they're not actively storing information from people's GPS receivers, but how did they actually know this information? They apparently anonymously were able to get aggregate data from people's GPSs, and I don't know if this is when they were syncing them, but, you know, the thing that piqued my interest on this story initially was, why are they collecting data? And are they storing information? You know, this is dangerous stuff. You already got computers in your car. So what if your GPS is now tracking what you're doing? You're speeding or getting an accident, or it shows you moving through a red. You know, there's all kinds of negative implications here. And I don't know if all GPS folks or GPS receivers are doing this, but what TomTom basically published was how fast people are driving as an aggregate. Now, the folks that are driving it fast are those that live in Mississippi. If you are if you live in Mississippi and you're driving, you're driving an average of 70.1 miles per hour on rural and urban interstate highways. If you live in Louisiana, you're driving an average speed of 67.3. Anyway, it goes through all the states. I don't even see Hawaii in the top 20. I'm sure we're like 49th because we're too much traffic. Washington, D.C. was actually the worst was the worst place to actually be driving at. But they give samples. They give samples of speeds from one place to the other and speed profiles and stuff. And I'm just like, Now, how are they collecting this? They don't get into that information. What are they doing with it? You know, is there going to come a time when police will subpoena your GPS when it comes to something that, you know, maybe a moving traffic violation you're trying to get out of? Or will they, you know, subpoena the computer records in your car from your onboard computer? It's a good question. It really is. So something to pay attention to. And I'd like to see if TomTom will announce on how they're actually collecting this information as well. Hey, the Zune Marketplace is going to be offline starting January 25th at 10 p.m. through January 26th at 6 a.m. So that is starting here in just a few hours. For those of you that are on the West Coast, I think it's, well, it's actually, what time is it now? It's 8:35 Eastern, so they're about 5 hours away. So you won't be able to get access to the Zune Marketplace while they do an upgrade. Just to let you know, many of you will not have listened to the show by then anywhere. Actually, this event will already have passed by the time you listen. Hey, I want to call your attention to some of the content that I put out over the weekend on Geek News Central. I still have like 75 or maybe 80 more videos to put up. It's just crazy how many I have to actually publish on the website. Many of them are up on YouTube already if you want to go watch them before they get up on GNC. But the ones I put up over the weekend, I put an article up on Mitsubishi on their integration of Vudu. I put one up adding mobile and HD compatibility to their website. I put up an article on Clear WiMAX and what our experience with that out in Vegas. For those of you that are fitness fanatics, Real Rider exercise bike, you guys will get to see a video of Andy McCaskey riding it with way too much gear on. I think it's worth the comedy action just to watch the video. Got an update on what's going on with Uma and their free phone home service. We've got an article up on Eaton emergency radios, which are Red Cross approved. A real expensive, unique flashlight called M-Power. It's called the Emergency Illuminator from M-Power. That's available to take a look at. Those of you that shop at Sears has a new TV and camera matchmaker site. You can actually go to tvmatchmaker.com and cameramatchmaker.com if you're looking to buy a new TV or camera this year. Sears will help you walk through the features of what you may be looking for and help you choose the right device. There's a video that's kind of, this is more for a corporate type person, and actually it's kind of one of the more videos I didn't get a lot out of this guy and his product. It's called I Know Where, and he's really enthusiastic about his project, about his service, and he's helping a lot of people stay organized, so you definitely want to check that out. That was at a startup event. Then I got a cool video on a Samsung AMOLED transparent laptop screen, which is pretty cool. And then one of the products I was really excited about is CallSpark, and you actually can, if you got your iPhone right now, you can look up CallSpark right on the App Store. It's free, and CallSpark locates contacts and businesses by accessing your data from social media sites, Gmail, different management tools, and your address book. So, you know, how many times have you got all your addresses in your phone book on your phone? I know I don't have all mine, but I have so many Gmail contacts and so forth. But anyway, that is an app that I was really excited about, and I think you will be too. But anyway, that's just a few of the videos this weekend at geeknewscentral.com. Make sure you get over there and check them out. Check the write-ups up, and, of course, make sure you visit the vendors' websites and comment on them if you want to at GNC. That would be most appreciative. And if you want to subscribe to all this content, don't forget you have to subscribe to the special media feed and special event feed that's on the GNC website, and that's the best way to get all this stuff downloaded automatically, and we appreciate the subscriptions to that feed. Moving on, over on the Gadgeteer website at the-gadgeteer.com, how many of you are using your Kindle or your ebook in a less, you know, an area that's not really the lighting's not real good? Maybe in your bedroom you have a light that's not real bright, or maybe your husband or significant other complains about you having the light on while you're reading. Well, there's a product out called the Kandle, K-A-N-D-L-E. It's $25. It has two LEDs. It basically attaches right to the top of your Kindle. And, you know, for years, when I was traveling with the Navy, especially when we were going overseas, right, you know, after 9/11, they had us grouped up with a lot of guys, and maybe we'd have 20 people in one billeting area. So, you know, at night, they'd want to turn the lights off, so the guys that were wanted to sleep could, and you know, basically everyone else was fending with a flashlight or something like that. So at the time, there was no e-readers out, of course, so we came with as many books as we could bring, and we would all bring one of those, you know, those lights for a regular book. And up to this point, I have not seen a light for an ebook. And this is called the Candle. And I'm going to be buying one of these and traveling with it because I nothing more than I hate is using that overhead light in the airplane at night and, you know, annoying my neighbor. So this is going to be a perfect product for $25, high-tech solution at a low price. You can find it at Amazon.com, of course. But definitely I'm going to be ordering one of these. I think it'll be up in the show notes for you, too. All right, is it being reported in the Wall Street Journal that the Obama administration, in an attempt to get NASA to do more space and environmental stuff, is going to push them or actually float the idea, as is being reported on Gizmodo, of using private companies to ferry astronauts into space. Now, you know, it's dangerous doing space launches. And the safety issue alone, you know, when it comes to working on airplanes, you want qualified mechanics that have been doing that for years. You want someone that has the full licenses to come in and do mechanical changes to your airplane. You know, if you know, and then here's you got NASA astronauts who we've literally spent millions and millions of dollars training. You know, it's expensive to get these guys trained up and getting them fit with gear and the whole process and the selection. And they want to turn this over to private industry to put our astronauts into space. That doesn't set real well with me. Now, I'm sure of the Lockheeds and General Dynamics and of the Boeings of the world. I'm sure this is something that's very exciting for them to be able to get into, you know, privatizing, launching astronauts into space. Now, obviously, we're paying the Russians, what is it, $25 million a launch or something like that for them to ferry astronauts to the International Space Station. But the policy change is obviously going to be controversial, and that probably their biggest fight on this is going to be the safety portion. So we'll see what happens with this. Now, I'm sure the astronauts will weigh in too. What's your guys' thought? Do you think that the U.S. government needs to get out of putting astronauts in space and turn that over to private industry? Do you think private industry can do it cheaper than NASA can? Which probably they can. But do you really think that's where we want to go? Basically, you're then allowing private industry to, they control the IP of all that technology. Well, that isn't necessarily bad. When the government pays for stuff, usually they get the rights to it if the contract's written correctly. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, but I guess we'll find out. Hey, over on paulcolligan.com, Paul's got an article up on 7 facts new media creators must face if they want to survive this year. I read through Paul's article. And, you know, I hate to say it, but some things Paul says I like, some things that he says I think is a little over the top. But, you know, he goes, it's time to face the facts. Here are 7. The first thing he says, niche audience programs can't survive on mass audience advertising models. Huh? Niche audience programs can't survive on mass audience advertising models. Paul, I've been surviving on niche audience program on mass audience. We don't use a mass audience advertising model. Okay? I don't get to what he's saying here. He's saying that like shows like American Idol and stuff can afford to, advertisers only pay a few pennies per person to reach that audience member. He says that shows like mine and others cannot survive on that business model. Well, quite frankly, most advertisers are not paying a few pennies per person to reach people. I don't know about this. I don't. Here's, you know, basically, I'll have this linked up for you in the show notes. You guys can read through it. I'd love to hear your feedback and tell me what you like, what you dislike about it. If you think he's right, especially as a consumer of content, does this ring home with you? And if you're a podcaster, check it out as well. I'll have a link up to it in the show notes. All right, how many of you are going to go stand in line at the Apple Store to get whatever they're releasing on Wednesday? Well, at 1 o'clock Eastern, if you're not in line at the Apple Store, you probably will not be able to buy anything that they. Of course, whether or not they're going to have something to sell on Wednesday will become evident probably Tuesday night or Wednesday morning when they close the store to revamp, and we'll see. But Robert Scoble saying he's going to go stand in line to buy whatever Steve Jobs replaces or introduces. And actually, there was a quote by Steve Jobs says that this device is the most important device that he has ever released. And I think to myself, considering the iPhone and what's happened with the iPod, well, that's a pretty bold statement. It really, really is. Now, a little bit more on this hype. Verizon Wireless has told store managers Wednesday is a big day. Okay, does that mean that this new device is going to run on Verizon's network? That's all I really need is another network to buy another device from or pay a monthly tariff to. Also being rumored is that they're going to announce that all carriers are going to be able to have access to the iPhone within the next year. That's another rumor on the street. So we'll see. Where this heads. Wednesday's the day, and Business Week was the company, or actually the website that broke this. Apple may allow all U.S. carriers to sell iPhone. There's an update to this. It says T-Mobile will get the phone this summer, followed by Verizon Wireless and Sprint Nextel in the fall, and Clearwire in 2011. AT&T has been obviously the exclusive carrier since 2007, and with this expiring in 2010, they think that the iPhone will come to all those carriers. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That $175 cancellation fee through AT&T, I'd be like, see ya, I'm out of here, and I will definitely switch. I'll probably go back to T-Mobile. My rest of my family's phones are on T-Mobile. It's got the best coverage of any phone I've ever had as far as, you know, talking. And for me, the talking part is more important many times than the data part. The only bad thing is T-Mobile's 3G network is very, very small. So that would be the only challenge. That would be the consideration I would have to take in contrast to maybe going to Verizon. Boy, it'd be a hard decision. It really would. But I know my wife would be excited about it because if T-Mobile gets the rights to it, she's gonna be like, honey, I want a new phone. And my daughter's gonna be like, Daddy, I want a new phone. And I'll be like, no, you get to keep your old just single phone. No iPhone for you, my dear. Not until you get a job and can afford to pay for it. And yes, no texting as well. So what will you do? What will you do if it opens to all carriers? Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotlines, +1-619-342-7365. Will you switch to the iPhone if you're not on the iPhone, if it's open to all carriers? I'm really curious. Love to hear your feedback on this one. Also, we're going to have on the 29th, let me look at the calendar here, this Friday while I'm flying home, the Association for Downloadable Media is going to be making a major announcement. You guys took part in the survey late last year, where we had all of Raw Voices podcasters that participated running the same survey across multiple sites. On Friday, they're going to have an online webinar using a Citrix product, by the way, to announce the results of that survey. Now, Raw Voices is getting their portion of the survey this week. We've been pre-briefed by what is in the announcement. And all I can say is what we have been doing at Raw Voice so far as advertising goes, man, we hit the nail right on the head. And that's all I can really say without going into any details, but I think we have been vindicated in our model of, and I won't go any deeper than that because I'm not supposed to, but I think you guys will be, if you guys, we'll get the information up on websites as soon as we can so that you can go through and read the results of the overall survey that you all participated in. So I'm pretty excited about that on Friday. All right, over on Robin Good's website at masternewmedia.org. Many of you are running or have your own blogs. You may see someone steal your content from time to time and post it up over on another website. Online plagiarism is a huge issue. I mean, I think Geek News Central now is plagiarized on over 100 sites, and there's really nothing I can do about it. The only thing that saves me is the page rank of the site is high enough that we stay up in the high, you know, high search rankings as compared to all these other sites that steal the content. I could spend an hour every day fighting authorized content republication and never ever get rid of all the sites that republicize all the content that we put up on the website. With over 11,000 articles now on Geek News Central, it is it's just something you live with. So, but if you're smaller and you've just gotten started, you want to make sure you fight unauthorized content as much as you can to the best of your ability, because if your site does not have that reputation or that page rank yet, many times the content will be syndicated somewhere else, and then the Google will actually treat that other site with more positive results than yours, and your content all of a sudden is, you know, you find your article linking to another website above yours in the search rank. So Robingood has, on the Master New Media website, has a lot of suggestions for you to and tools that you can use to track those that are stealing your content online. Okay, as a reminder, as we're about 40 minutes into the show here, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. You can email comments about the show. The voicemail hotline, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is at area code 9-342-7365. You can call anytime, day or night, leave your comment. We do have one comment at the end of the show or one voicemail. Haven't previewed it yet, kind of a short one, so we'll see who's called in and left a message with us, but have some email as well. Hey, Google Chrome has announced an update today. So this is a new release for Windows, which includes two of the browser's most frequently requested features, extensions and bookmark sync. So extensions let you add new features and functions to your browser. Some provide one-click access to some of your favorite web applications like eBay and Dig. And then also we have a synchronization tool. So if you're using Chrome across multiple machines, you can sync it to them and then get your bookmark synced up across multiple computers. I'm using Chrome more and more. I really am. It's just faster, more stable. And I know that I've been a big Firefox fan, but I find myself loading Chrome a lot more than I did before. All right, over the weekend, Jason Calacanis really went after ComScore. We talked about last show, ComScore announced a deal where you can pay them $10,000 a year to track your site and report it more accurately through their service. 10 grand for tracking? It cost you that much money to track my website and server resources? What? Who are they kidding? Jason come off like the top rope and punch ComScore in the face, basically saying, this is a scam. You guys need to boycott them. This is ridiculous. And really, for years, ComScore has used a little widget installed on people's browsers to track where they were going on the web. And, of course, all the main sites like Google, you know, all these sites that get visited on a regular basis, of course, they're ranked very high. And ComScore was giving traffic predictions. Their traffic predictions suck so bad. Oh, they just – I've looked at Geek News Central's traffic. I mean, it is on multiple orders of magnitude wrong. Orders of magnitude. And but yet they want me to pay $10,000 a year? 10 grand a year so that they can get my traffic to my website right? Sorry. It's not happening. No way. No way. But this rant, attention of a lot of people. A lot of people. And people fired back. But I'm sorry, ComScore, your model's dead. I don't trust your statistics, and advertisers need to wake the heck up to it as well. Advertisers, you want statistics on new media consumption? Come to me. Come to me. We have statistics like you wouldn't believe, accurately tracked of consumption of over 5,000 podcasters. You want to talk about new media consumption? I can give you accurate data, aggregated, of course. We don't release any of our podcasters' individual site information without their permission. We just that's not how we roll. That's part of our terms of service. But I just want to add that in there if any podcasters were listening. But we will never release without their permission their individual show site data. And actually, we have some restrictions within the company on how many people can actually look at their stats as well internally. Okay, I digress. The New York Times, talking about technology. Twitter could become the unemployed's best friend. And if you're looking for a job, I've even seen a number of someone asking in the Ustream chat, what hotel is that? I'm in a Homewood Suites. That's where I'm at. Back to the podcast here. I've seen a number of tweets where I see folks actually Twittering for jobs. I saw an IT job somewhere in Oklahoma, $75,000 a year for an IT job in Oklahoma. That's pretty good money for Oklahoma for an IT job. So pay attention, you know, set up some searches, help wanted, you know, so you can track when these recruiters are actually putting these notices out. It may be a quick way to respond and pick up a job quickly. You may have to move. But in the last month, 340,000 jobs have been listed on Twitter. Now, you can go over to Twit Job Search, a site that searches Twitter for jobs. That's twitjobsearch.com. You can also use some tools like JobDeck for finding openings. Of course, TwitDeck is another one that you can use to set up your own search results. But 340,000 jobs being advertised on Twitter in a month is a lot. All right, internet access has been extended to the International Space Station. A software upgrade now allows the International Space Station crew to directly access the internet from the space station. The crew support LAN allows station crew to remotely access a computer on the ground connected to the internet. Astronauts then can browse the internet, provide the station's communication link to the ground are active. And the capability was used to post a message on Twitter on Friday to announce the internet access. So that's pretty cool. They can access, and I'm sure that's for a short period of time on each orbit. But if they're using like a common data link, the speeds actually are probably pretty good. All right, the Phoenix Mars lander, which landed in 2008, November of 2008, actually has been silent since November of 2008, has not responded by efforts of NASA to detect the lander to see if, of course, if you remember the Phoenix Mars lander has went into a deep freeze. And was really, you know, only active for a number of months. It went into the polar regions to, you know, try to find water on Mars. And NASA's going to try to get a contact with it in February and March, but when the site gets more sunlight. But as of yet, the Phoenix Mars lander has remained silent, not spelling a good, you know, not spelling good news there on being able to. And they think the chances are very slim anyway to reconnecting with the lander. Over on BBC, you knew this article would catch my attention, and it's entitled, Why Hasn't ET Made Contact Yet? This is a pretty good article. Now, Frank Drake has been scouring the skies for 50 years looking for signs of our, you know, space aliens. Of course, we've heard nothing, but he has no doubt, as I have no doubt, that they're out there. Drake was a founding member of SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and we know since 1960 this activity has been pointing radio telescopes at stars, hoping to receive some indication of a message. Now, something that they've been doing recently as well is they've been watching for essentially huge laser blinks. They've been looking for stars that are they think are blinking, but aren't really stars blinking, but actually laser pulses. They've started doing that and a number of different type of other methods to see if they can get any type of signal that may be sending from another, you know, probable superior intelligent race. Now, he worries that our window of data that's actually being transmitted off Earth is going to be it's going to be harder for us to actually be heard as well, because he says with the change of television signals from analog to digital, our footprint and the reception frequency is narrowed. Many of the services that used to go over a wireless transmission are now going through cables. Many of the satellites that are up in space now are not so like broadband. They're very narrowly focused. Basically, the energy of the signal is very narrowly focused. So he feels that at some point we'll have to make a decision here on Earth whether or not we want to actually start transmitting something to someone that may be listening. And the math that's been done so far, and of course there's a lot of assumptions here in this game, but when scientists have really crunched the numbers, they figure there could be a conservative figure of about 10,000 civilizations. Now, that's really not a lot when you consider there are at least 200 billion stars in the Milky Way alone. So, you know, we've shown some of those illustrations of, you know, us being this, not even this atom in size as the total universe goes. You know, we're just out here and we're nothing really. And, you know, being that the search field is enormous and the distances are enormous, the chances are pretty slim that the times would align when we would hear something. The distances are so far anyway. Okay, you hear somebody. Okay, what do? You know, you send a signal back, and, you know, in about a million years, it gets to the destination it needs to be at. By that time, that race is dead, you know. So, I don't know. I think we're out here on our own for a long, long time, but it's still kind of cool to think about. All right, PlayStation 3 hacked by iPhone cracker. A U.S. hacker gained notoriety by unlocking Apple's iPhone as a teenager has told the BBC News that he has now hacked the Sony PlayStation 3, and within the next several days, he is going to announce how the hack went. And he says it's about 5% hardware, 95% software. So for those of you that have PlayStations 3, too long before you'll be able to unlock your PlayStations. There's an article over on NewScientist.com talking about to beat spam, they're turning its own weapons against it. Scientists and developers have coming up with a system that now deciphers the templates that botnets are using to create spam. These botnets are pretty smart. They change the message every so often to avoid spam detection, but they're a lot of times using the same type of a template system. So they can actually now supposedly fingerprint these templates, and they're going to start using that to teach spam filters what to look for. A lot of people are trying to call me tonight. That's two calls that have come in, and that one was a blocked call. Why do people, don't you hate that when people block? You know, they call you, but their number's blocked. It just drives me nuts. So anyway, to beat spam, this is some of the new stuff that's going to be instituted on spam filters. We'll see how well it works. You know, so far, you know, using Google Gmail, and we actually use their Google Apps service as well, the spam has been pretty low. They've done a pretty good job filtering. I don't get a lot of spam through anymore. If you live down under, the Australian ISPs are going to be preparing an industry code of conduct to identify and respond to users with botnet-infected computers. And the 200 ISPs in Australia are preparing code to use in response to the federal government basically saying that they need to terminate the connection of users that don't fix a problem, that have an issue with a botnet installed on their computer. So that's pretty cool. Australia, which had the world's third highest rate of new zombie behind the U.S. And China. So I wish U.S. providers would start doing that, start saying, you know, send out an email to the owner of that machine, and they don't fix a doggone thing, block them, you know? And it can't be too overly complicated. And we'd fix a lot of this spam issue overnight if ISPs would just get tough and make users to clean up their computers. All right, I know everyone's probably starting to collect all their tax data. They're getting their W-2s in the mail, and they're getting their investment stuff, and everything is getting to be about the time where you got to go settle up with Uncle Sam. Did you know that Intuit, you guys know who Intuit is, right? They're the folks that sell tax preparation software. Well, they have been going to congressional reps and lobbying them to make it harder for Americans to file their taxes. Have you ever wondered why the tax forms the government sends you weren't already kind of like pre-filled out with some of the information in it? Well, what Intuit's trying to do is they're trying to keep the government from making it easier for us to file our taxes, is that because they want to protect their business. The company first claimed that this functionality is already available. This is not. Of course, it's available if you are an Intuit tax preparer user, and that it's a conflict of interest for the government to be both a tax collector and a tax preparer. I don't know if that's necessarily inaccurate as well. Have you ever asked the government to prepare your taxes? They'll help you with questions on the phone and so forth. But I've never had a U.S. government representative fill out my taxes. I don't think I'd want to. Would you guys want someone from the government filling out your taxes? I think I want to make sure that I get all the deductions I'm authorized to. So anyway, if you're using Intuit to fill out your taxes this season, be advised that they are trying to make it more difficult for you to file your tax returns. I'll have a link to the article over on TechDirt and the article that they this is really brought up in. And we have to, we live in a digital age. They know how, the government knows how much money has been sent to them on our behalf underneath our Social Security number. If you're working, you pay federal and Social Security and Medicare and all that stuff that you have withheld. They know how much has been sent in. You get a little piece of paper verifying that. That information that's on that paper is the money that's been sent in for you. Now, you may get a 1099. It shows 1099 miscellaneous form where you've gotten some money that you have to claim separately. But you can do that in a tax form. But Uncle Sam already knows how much money you've sent in. They have a pretty good idea as well as how much money you've made. So, we could automate this. It could be a lot easier. But Intuit doesn't want you to do that. Hey, imagine this. You park your car, and you start getting speeding tickets on it. Apparently, a gentleman parked his car on the side of a road, and the road is equipped with a speed camera, and he's received numerous speeding tickets when his car was parked. I'm sure that was a fun one to explain. Hey, there's no one in the car. How am I getting a ticket for speeding when I'm sitting still? Last article tonight, I got an email from Chris Perillo. Of course, Chris Perillo is doing a cool promotion for us with GoToAssist. He's putting together a series of video demonstrations on talking about how you can use GoToAssist to really improve your IT toolbox or do IT tech support. It's a great product. I've been using it quite a bit. But you can check out what Chris is doing over there on his website at Perillo.com. But what he sent me tonight was called a funny code, funicode.perillo.com. It's the ultimate fun text generator. And I was looking at some of the texts he's been putting in his Twitters, and I think, how did he do that? Well, he did this with funicode.perillo.com. You can definitely check this out. You can submit your own, basically type your own set of text, and then it transforms it into weird characters, MD5 code, just a little fun, geeky thing to do. And thanks for Chris for sending that over. I'll have the link up to this funny code, ultimate fun text generator from him. All right, let me go ahead and get into the voicemail tonight. 619-342-7365 is the number to call. Again, 619-342-7365. And let me go ahead and play the voicemail. Again, I haven't perused these tonight, so I have no idea who's called in. Let me go ahead and play this first one.
Hi, this is Scott, getting back to you with more information on generating $775 daily from home by returning phone calls. We are looking for 4 to 5 people to start tomorrow. This is not network marketing, and you never have to do any selling or buy any products. Now, for more information, please visit our website at 775.
Oh, my goodness. That is what you call spam voicemail. Hey, it wasn't network marketing. This is not a pyramid scheme. I'm sure if I send them $777 to whatever site they want, they will teach me how to make a lot of money on the Internet. Oh, my gosh. That, I wish I could block that number. So there was no voicemails except a spam voicemail. So funny nonetheless. Anyway, again, if you have comments, legitimate comments, and you're not trying to sell me something, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365. Okay, first email up. I got an email from Robbie. He said, this morning on ABC Good Morning America, George Stephanopoulos interviewed Bill Gates. So goes on to say, news organizations using any excerpts from the interview, please credit ABC Good Morning America. He's got the link to the story in the video. But it goes on to talking about some of the things that Bill Gates is talking about happening in the U.S. economy. So thanks for that email. Not necessarily too techie, Robbie, but I appreciate the submission as well. Got an email from Jorn. He said, hey, Todd, this might be interesting to your show. He goes on talking about the N. He's got a link to the N900. So I have a link up to that, and also he's got a link to a guitar they'd like to learn. It's called MesaDigital.com. I'll have that linked up in the show notes. Have not looked at those two links prior to it. Apologize, but we'll check that out, Jorn. Thanks. And Jorn's from the Netherlands. Thanks for his submission. Got an email from Trucker Tom, and he says, hey, humid bed warming service launched in the UK. How to stay warm on those cold, lonely nights away from home? The answer could be a toasting suit. Holiday Inn offering human sleeper service. Holiday Inn, operator of over 4,000 hotels worldwide, will begin to offer a free 5-minute human bed warming service at its London Kingston Hotel throughout next week. If requested, a willing member of the hotel staff will jump in your bed and dress head to foot in an all-in-one sleeper suit until your nightly chamber warms up. This is something I would expect in Japan, not in the UK. Who in their right mind would actually have someone get into your bed, warm it up? Would you let a stranger? First of all, hotel beds are nasty enough as it is, right? How many of you pull back and check your sheets and everything when you're in a hotel? I do. I stay in enough hotels. I look closely. So who's going to let some hotel staff person who you have no idea who they are, how clean they are, jump into your bed and warm your bed up? Two thumbs down. Bad idea. Good try. Good try. TSA worker planted bag with white powder on passenger as joke. Wow. 22-year-old Rebecca Solomon, a student of the University of Michigan, had a TSA agent pull a bag of powdered substance out of her bag, and she flipped out. He did this as a joke, was laughing about it. This gentleman no longer works with TSA. Wow. Can you believe that? That is just simply remarkable. Oh, Trucker Tom sent me a voicemail comment. See if I can copy it here. And actually, I didn't have this all ready to go. Let me see if I can get this into the right folder, and we'll get this added to the system here so you guys can listen to this. And I didn't notice that this was an actual voicemail from Tom. So let me see if I can get it in here. Let me paste it in here. Oh, come on. Let me... Okay, so we'll save it there. See how long this takes to save. Again, I'm on my high-speed internet connection here in the hotel. I'm staying at Home and Suites. Pretty nice. Can't complain. And while this is this thing actually downloaded yet? Or is it still... Oh, it's still downloading. So I'll wait for this to download. And, of course, well, it's about 25% down. Let me go ahead and read a couple of the other emails that are in here while we're waiting for Trucker Tom's email to download. I got an email from Pete. This is an email that already came through. So we've got all the emails wrapped for today. And we'll just wait for Trucker Tom's email to download from this very high-speed internet connection here in this hotel in a lovely Homewood Suites Hilton. You know, someday hotels will figure out that business travelers will have a tendency to stay more in their hotels if they have super high-speed internet. But to this point, they just, even now, they really don't get it. So we're about 80% downloaded on Trucker Tom's voicemail. We'll wait, or actually his voice comments. And as soon as this gets done, I'll load this into the player. And we're almost there. Isn't this nice to have me? You guys are waiting just like I am. And yes, that sucks. No, we won't edit this out. Oh, okay, it's downloaded. So let's go ahead and add the file and move up into this directory. Okay, here comes Trucker Tom's AT&T comment.
Hey, Todd. Tom Wiles here, a.k.a. Trucker Tom. I was just in the process of listening to your Monday podcast. I'm a little bit behind on listening. But in any case, you're talking about AT&T going through and lowering its prices on its iPhone plans in order to kind of come more into line with Verizon. And, of course, I'm with Sprint. For the past couple of years, I've had their Simply Everything plan, $99 a month, unlimited everything on my HTC Touch Windows Mobile smartphone. Still very happy with it. It's not as smooth and slick as an iPhone, but it's does the job, and it does things that an iPhone actually won't do. But in any case, I think it's ironic, you know, how long ago, it wasn't long ago, AT&T was saying, oh, these iPhone users, they're data hogs. And now they're, you know, we're going to raise the price. And what are they doing? They're lowering the price. Now, come on, which is it? Are they going to raise the price or are they going to lower the price? It's absurd. So I'm a happy Sprint customer. Anyhow, keep up the great work. We'll catch you later.
Thanks, Tom, for the voice comment on that. And, you know, I think AT&T is in trouble with if Apple announces Wednesday that they're going to open the iPhone up to all carriers. As soon as those carriers start coming online, you're going to see people like rats are going to run for the hills and run for new carriers. I think it'll be a game changer for AT&T. All right, folks, that's the end of the regular content tonight. And, again, if you've got comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. A number of you have come on Ustream since we started tonight. We actually had pretty good numbers pop in and out. And you can check my website over at geeknewscentral.com. You can subscribe to the podcast via the RSS feed, Zune Marketplace feed, or iTunes, available there on the main page of the website. Of course, you can check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link. I do this show twice weekly, Monday and Thursday, with the podcast released every Tuesday and Friday morning. For your audio consumption, the video portion of the show, again, is such a very, 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 very small portion of the overall audience. This show is primarily designated for those that are the audio listeners of the podcast. And, of course, we put out a full line of show notes of everything that I cover on the show at geeknews@gmail.com. For those of you who have been with me here for the audio portion of the show, I want to thank you guys for hanging out. Those of you on Ustream, stand by. I'll come off the recording and actually hang out with you guys and chat for a little bit, answer any questions that may be there. But next show will be the last show from Jacksonville. Then we head back to Honolulu to get back in the regular studio. I'm so looking forward to that. Of course, my weekend is going to, the following weekend will be in Chicago over the weekend. So probably be one show. Actually, there'll be no shows from Chicago, and maybe a show earlier in the week next week. But until Friday, or actually Thursday night when I record the show, everyone take care. Have a great week. And make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Continued video coverage of all the interviews we did at CES continue to be published. And hope that you guys check them out. Until next time, everyone take care. And aloha.